This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is sponsored by Fisher Skis, and you can visit them at www.fishersports.com.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Adam, and this is the Out of Bounds podcast. And today we have a special episode where we talk about everything that's wrong with the bike industry. We'll address some of the DMs and questions that you guys sent in, but we'll also dive into some of the things that I think are wrong, given the fact that I spend a lot of time in a bike shop and have spent a lot of time in a bike shop over the past 15 plus years. And a lot of things have changed, so it'll be cool to talk about it. Before we jump into the episode, I just wanted to say a quick thank you to a couple of our wonderful, wonderful partners, including Deuter Bags. Deuter makes the best bags for whatever adventure you are going on. If you are going on a hike, which we're still working on defining what a hike is, but if you are working on going on a hike, a big hike, and you need a pack for it, Deuter has you covered. Ski bags, obviously, they have the best ski bag in the entire world. In the Freerider series, there are so many good things that Deuter makes. And even for bike season, there are some awesome hip pack options, some awesome frame bag options, saddle bag options, the whole nine. Go to deuter.com and get yourself a new bag today. If you have any questions on bags, on sizing, or any of that kind of thing, please hit me up. I'm more than happy to help. Next, we have our friends at Cannon Mountain. Cannon is, as you know, I think, the best skiing in all of New England. It has technical terrain that's outside of the boundaries of Cannon that is phenomenal, terrain that is outside the traditional outlook of Cannon that is optional for you as well. The snow has been awesome. The terrain, as always, is perfect, and you can go ski there for at least another few weeks. So let's get it. Let's go skiing. Today is eclipse day, so we'll be at Cannon today shooting some stuff and hopefully catching a glimpse of that eclipse that everybody is trying to get photos of, trying to see. So if you are thinking about buying a pass next year, also consider a Cannon Mountain season pass or an indie pass or any other way that gets you skiing at Cannon, because I would love to go skiing with you people. So go do that. Cannon Mountain, CannonMT.com. And let's go skiing. Only a few more weeks to go skiing, so let's do it. And without further ado, here is myself. All right, there are a lot of things to go over. So we're going to start with some of your commentary. I asked on Instagram Monday or something like that of last week what you felt like was wrong with the bike industry. And we have over 150 DMs. So we're not going to go through all of them, but we're going to go through some of the key ones. And that's how we're going to do this. And then I'll kind of talk about what some of this actually means, like from the back end side of things. So, upgrade shame is real. Oh, you're riding that model. I actually think that this is less prevalent now than it was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, especially in the road bike scene, like it felt like everybody was always just talking about how sick their new road bike was, how sick their new aero bike was. And there was a lot of like shame versus like, I feel like in the same time frame, 10 plus years ago, mountain bikes were just starting to get really good. So everybody was like, everybody just had whatever full suspension was out at the time. And it felt like everything was just fine. Now, I don't think that is the case nearly as much. I think there's a lot of big box store brands. There's a lot of like direct consumer brands that are actually helping that out, and like they're becoming fully accepted as like respectable bike brands. Like if you look at Canyon, I would have never guessed would be like a respectable bike brand, but I think they've done a lot of things the right way, and that has allowed them to kind of keep their foot on the gas and actually get some success in that mid to high end market, whether it's through the teams that they sponsor, the riders that they sponsor, or just the way that the product looks in general. I think they've done a good job in all categories, especially in mountain bike, but in all categories, of kind of bridging the gap overall between like what a, like we used to have Bikes Direct, right? Like Bikes Direct used to be the big one, and people would come in with Motobacanes and whatever, and you'd be like, oh, they paid $1,500 for a hardtail steel bike with full XT, and you're like, how does anybody touch that price point, right? But then you get the bike in and be a total piece of garbage. Like, yeah, the build kit is great, but the bike used to be trash. Versus Canyon is just not the same story. So I think that has happened less and less. If you're still seeing it, I would be curious to hear from you. I have seen it much less, and I have felt, I really don't feel like there's that many bikes out there that are like shame worthy. You know what I mean? Like if you're buying a new bike, like who cares? You bought a Giant. All right. You bought a Scott. Cool. Like I think shaming based on the build of those bikes that you get too is pretty ridiculous. Like, yeah, all of the fancy shit is really cool. I happen to think wireless shifting is dope. Wireless dropper posts especially. Completely. It's so sick. I'm on board. However, if you have a cable actuated one or no dropper post, I'm not mad. Like, I'm not upset. There's nothing upsetting about that. Not enough bikes. So this isn't true anymore. It was, obviously, during COVID, and there's a lot of questions about that or comments about that. There's just not... There's a lot of bikes now, and that's why everything is on sale. Like, you can still get a deal. Remember when Kona was doing a buy one, get one free bike sale around Christmas? It's like, that's an indication that there's too much product. And there is. I mean, you can still see, like, Giant still has bikes on closeout on their website, so to Specialized. Like, if this was during COVID, we'd be, like, talking 2015 bikes at full retail. So that has definitely fallen off quite a bit. Somebody else said UCI, and while the UCI is really stupid and there's a lot of things to hate about the UCI, I feel like for 99% of us, it doesn't affect anybody. Like, I don't think the governing board for bicycle racing really is impactful for a lot of us. Maybe it's 95% of us, but like, I just don't see it making a big enough impact on it to be like the problem with the bike industry. Now, is that a problem with bike racing? 100%. But I wouldn't put it on the top 10 list of anything. I feel like my dog just took a shit in the office, and I can't find, do you ever have that feeling? You can't find it, but you can smell it. It's like, you know, something's in here. Something's going on. It's like, we got a puppy, and this is what I'm dealing with. Anyway. So, yeah, I don't think UCI is the issue. Someone said literally everything. I don't think it's wrong. But, like, I don't know. There's still bikes, right? Like, you can still ride bikes. Too many bikes, not enough rich people. Too many bikes, not many rich people. All right, that's fair. People that bike on the sidewalk instead of the road. Okay, this is like a topic that I never realized was ever debatable. People that don't ride bikes think that you're supposed to ride your bike on the sidewalk. It's a sidewalk, not a side bike. And I don't understand why that would be people's intuition. It's like, okay, yeah, you for sure should be riding your bicycle on the same place people are like walking their dog. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. It is hilarious that people think that is a thing. I have been yelled at personally for riding my bike on the road. And like, I don't know. I don't like riding my bike on the road. When I ride my bike on the road, I'm pretty cautious because you get pushed off the road every 2 seconds, it feels like, by somebody not paying attention and driving. But it is what it is. You got to be cautious. You're supposed to ride your bike on the road and with the flow of traffic and follow all of the same rules as a car. Like, you are a vehicle. You're on the road. Follow the rules. Okay? Other than the speed limit, because I have a feeling it'll be a little difficult to hit that most of the time. But, yeah, I don't know why people think that. I don't know why that's okay. Here's one that, like, drives me nuts more than anything else. A new standard every 5 minutes. Slightly worse than what already exists. The second part I don't really agree on. I don't really think it's slightly worse. But I will say, it's definitely not that much better. Like, ever. It's never been like... there's been very few new standards. Like, Boost. I think if you asked 20 people to tell you what Boost was, you would get 15 different answers. Like, what is Boost spacing? What is the purpose of it? That's even further. I bet one person out of 20 could tell you what the purpose of Boost is. Yet now, all old other wheels don't fit. Obviously, there is a number of other standards that, like, require certain things to make a bike work. You can go as far to say transmission from SRAM is a problem in that category as well, because it requires the same, like, you need the system for it to work together. And good or bad, performance benefit or not, it's like, that is an annoying thing. There's just more to keep track of. I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. It's like, as a bike shop, you have to keep so many things in stock. Like, it's so hard to be a bike shop. It really... because there's no money in it. There's no money in bikes. The margin is terrible. So it's like, you're trying to make that work. You need experts in their field. You need people that really know what they're doing. And I think finding those people is, depending on your area, next to impossible. And like, I was like waving the pay people more flag for a long time. I don't know what. You have to pay people so much money that you would be operating at a loss in order to get people into some of these areas, because they just don't exist. It's just not what people want to do. Like, the talented people don't really want to just go work in a local bike shop a lot of times. And if they do, it's like, they know they're the shit. They know they're great. And like, they become hard to work with. And that's always the thing I have a hard time with. So, it's difficult. You can't find all of these standards that exist, all of these things that are constantly changing. There's just so much, and it makes it really difficult to have to stock all of these things. Like, I was just thinking about it yesterday in the context of, like, okay, as a bike shop, what are the key things that you need to have in stock? And you're like, okay, chains. And you're like, all right, well, there's at least three major chain brands that you probably should have something for in each category. Do you need all of them at all times? No. But then there's single speed, 8-speed, 9-speed, 10-speed, 11-speed, 12-speed. And then some of those do not work with different versions of those speeds. So you need to carry a bunch of different chains just in chains. Then you go over to tubes and you're like, okay, there are literally 100 different tube sizes. And you need to have some volume of each of those, because otherwise, one, the margin is worse where you can't buy them as cheap, and you're not going to have enough. Like, somebody's going to want two and you only bought one because you were like, oh, no one's ever going to buy a 27.5 by 4.0 tube. And it's just not, like, it's so hard to do. It doesn't make any sense. And then half of those sizes, you don't, like, some of these sizes, like the 24 by 1 3/8, it's like you get two people a year that need that tube. But you have to buy 10, so then you sit on them all year long for a small item. My point is, I was thinking about it in the context of rim tape, because I was like, okay, like, probably should have rim tape in stock all the time, but like, what widths do you need in stock for retail? What widths do you just need in stock for service? And then I'm like, okay, there's so many different internal rim widths to worry about in order to be able to stock all this stuff. Like, it's really just becoming harder and harder and harder to be a bike shop in a lot of ways. All of that being said, I think consumer direct shipping through the brand through the bicycle brand is worth it. And I think it's great for shops. I actually think it's going to help shops in a lot of ways. So, like, you could take Giant, for example. You can order a bike online on Giant's website and select your local retailer. If you select your local retailer, your retailer gets shipped the bike. So they build it for you. They take care of it. They get paid out their fair margin value for that bike. And it actually is just like an easier transaction. Like, the shop doesn't have to worry about stocking every bike on the floor. The customer knows they're getting exactly what they want. And we can just build it, get it out the door, make you happy, set it up. I've actually found that in a lot of cases, it's a smoother transaction. And some of these, you actually like have the ability to get them delivered to your house. So there's a million good options for consumer direct. I think it's a really good thing. I think there obviously is a way, like, some brands are cutting out the dealer. I think that's a shitty way to do it, especially if you're a brand that sell, like, Specialized, for example. If you're Specialized and you sell product to a shop but also sell it direct to a customer, and like they can choose whether they ship it to their house or not, like, people are going to ship it to their houses. They're not going to know what to do. The shop's not going to get paid out of margin, so the shop's not making anything on it. And then they're still going to go to their local Specialized dealer for warranty, for service, for all of that stuff. So I think when it's done that way, it's really shitty. When it's done well, I think it works awesome, and I think it's a good thing. I think there's less pressure in it too. Like, you find that people aren't being sold a bike, which, like, I don't know, my shop, we try really hard not to just sell people stuff that they don't need. And like, not to just sell in general. If you want a bike, we got a bike. Cool. We'll sell it to you. No problem. But I think that there is a middle area where people tend, like in a lot of shops, where they just feel like they're being sold something. And it just shouldn't be that way. It straight up shouldn't be that way. Like I said, it's not that way at my shop, but I can't speak for every shop in the country. And that's actually one of the things that people have complained about, is like people being selly. The direct to consumer sales takes away a lot of the being selly aspect of it. Unless we're talking about things like curated, when some random fucking guy in the middle of Tennessee gets paid a commission to sell you ski gear from his toilet seat. Like, I think things like curated are not great, but what do I know? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure people listening to this are going to be like, oh yeah, I do curated and it's awesome. Like, that's cool. But there's also some guy that's doing it that has nothing, like, has no idea of what he's talking about at all. He's just looking to make commission. I've seen people, and I know people that do curated, that are terrible and they don't know anything, and they're the ones advising you on product. I don't know how I got on a curated rant, but it is what it is. It steals my money. Yep, obviously. It definitely steals your money, or certainly takes it. Maybe not steals it. Mountain bikes are $10,000. Yeah, I mean, it's true, but it's not true. Like, you can buy a mountain bike for pretty cheap now. Like, the cost you can get a mountain bike for, a nice mountain bike for in 2024, is pretty low. Like, I just sold somebody, like, a 29-inch mountain bike yesterday with disc brakes, with a one-by setup on it, for $480. I mean, it's not a sick bike, but it's a pretty rad bike for the money. I think the biggest thing that has happened lately that is causing everything to kind of just seem like shit is the COVID bubble burst. Izzy sent in this question, and I agree. Like, it has caused so many layoffs in the bike industry, like the COVID bubble, so many layoffs in the bike industry, so many budgets cut from brands, so many, like, it has just washed the industry and caused so many, like, frantic decisions to be made that didn't need to be made. And now we're in 2024 and everybody's panicking about everything all the time, it feels like. It's like there's not enough money coming in because people aren't buying bikes because they got told bikes were all sold out during COVID. And then after COVID, bikes came in stock and they were really expensive because no one had bikes. So when the bikes came in stock, everybody was like, oh, cool, like we'll sell these. And a percentage of them certainly sold, but there's a percentage of them that just stuck. And like I know from my experience, like there's brands that we ordered product in 2020. It got shipped to us in 2022. With no notice, like they didn't tell us it was coming. It just showed up one day, 2 years later, and you're like, oh, I got $20,000 of Niners right now, which is like three bikes, but like that's 20 grand you got to pay on an invoice on bikes that you're not going to sell and bikes that are spec'd for 2020. So it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense for what people did during COVID. Like, everybody's just, like, knee-jerk reaction is coming to bite us in the ass now. And that's where we're at. So whether you're a shop owner, a consumer, a media person trying to get a gig, or worse, working at a bike brand, it is hard right now. Like, it is a difficult start. I know in New England especially, it's a difficult start to the bike year because it has been cold and rainy and snowy. Punxsutawney Phil did not do his job. Winter is still here, and it's supposed to be the start of bike season, and it's just not. Like, it's the end of ski season, start of bike season. And I'll tell you what, like, I've ridden my bike once, and that's about all I could muster up at this point. Like, it's pretty gross. So... beyond all that, it's like pricing, yeah, like I said, has come down, but everybody's perception of bikes is that it went up so much in COVID that, like, why would we buy a bike now? It's like people almost soured on the bike industry because of how expensive and how crazy things got and how, honestly, how shitty a lot of shops were. Like, I heard stories of people walking into shops and them just being like, yeah, no, thank you. Like, we don't need your, like, we're good. We're sold out of bikes. Like, and just not give people the time of day. And I know that's happened a lot. And it's a bummer. Like, I hate to see that. I hate to see people get soured on their local bike shop, because I think a local bike shop should be a community center. And I think it really should be like a place where you can just go. And that's really hard to curate. And if COVID was a time where everybody was so stressed all the time and everything felt so hard, that I'm sure shops didn't react great as a generality. And I'm sure consumers were, like, kind of fed up with everything. Like, there were so many policies, so many things that you had to do that made the buying experience feel even worse. And now we're wondering why people are going and buying more and more and more online, even with bike stuff. It's like, it's not shocking at all. The people, someone said. The people is the biggest I don't think the people are that. There are definitely some insufferable people in cycling, but let me tell you, there are equally as many in skiing. So, brands like Santa Cruz Bicycle bullying and cutting out independent bicycle dealers. I don't know if they're bullying. Like, we sell Santa Cruz. I don't think they're bullying. They're just making you work with them the way that you feel like, or the way that they feel like y'all should be working together. Like, that's what it feels like to me. I've been pretty okay with them. I will say the bikes haven't sold nearly as well because, like, the parts and the kits are way more expensive now than they were. I know I just said bike prices have come down, and they have, but, like, in 2019, you could buy a Santa Cruz S kit with, like, a GX build for like $4,600 carbon, like all in with a Fox suspension setup. Now, no shot in hell. Like, the full step down in everything, suspension, drivetrain, brakes, everything is the same, if not more money, for like $1,000 less of a kit. It's just how it is. It's really stupid. And I wish they would stop doing that, but it's cost of doing business. They're owned by a big company. They've got big company money now. It is what it is. They just do what they decide. I will say they should bring stuff down because they're not the small, niche-y brand that they used to be where they could get away with being like, oh, we're more expensive because we're just better. We have more attention to detail where our product is just like the shit. And I think a lot of the Santa Cruz stuff is the shit and is the gold standard and is really well, but it's not the same as it was where you can be like, oh yeah, we're the little guys. Help us out. Spend a little more money on our stuff. It's just not what it is anymore. New standards every 5 minutes. We did that one. People, places, things, basically nouns. The media telling everyone's stuff is wrong with it, and brands running doomsday sales. The media is telling, I get what you're saying. You're saying it's not that bad, and the problem is just the narrative. I agree. The narrative is pretty bad, but brands running doomsday sales certainly doesn't help. Insanely slack XC bikes. I can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing. That's what you think is a bad thing, is slack XC bikes. I feel like there's better things to complain about. The idea that hardtails can be bad, they're not bad. Hardtails are sick. I just got one. Just got a chameleon myself. The rat. Inventory and supply chain management. I agree 100%. It's not that inventory is bad on everything. It's just that it's bad on some things. It's very sporadic as far as inventory goes right now. It's just everywhere. Like, there's stuff that's in stock. I've never in my life seen Pedro's tire levers sold out, and they're sold out right now. Like, it's so weird. The shit that's sold out is so bizarre to me. And, like, bikes, it's just, like, one size will be sold out, and it'll be like, oh, it's coming in week 54 of 2024. And you're like, oh, week 54 is not even a week. It's like, bro, that's next year. How did you... That's not 2024 anymore. That's 2025. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. So that's good. But then there'll be like 7 million e-bikes at like cheaper than you've ever seen them before. And it just doesn't, nothing makes sense. I'm very confused. Very confused. Expensive. 5 to 10K for a bike is ridiculous, and biking is a literal pain in the ass. I agree that it is a pain in the ass, literally. I don't think you have to spend 5K. If I was a consumer, here's what I would do. I would buy the cheapest Giant Trance. And I'm only using Giant as an example because I know them, like I know the brand well. And I know they have stuff cheap that's decent. I would buy the cheapest Giant Trance you possibly could buy, which are on sale coincidentally right now for like $2,000. And I would beat that thing into a bloody pulp. I would ride it for the next 4 or 5 years, and I would treat it like absolute horse garbage. I would only service the things that had to be, like, that broke. And then at the end of that time period, I would go and I would decide, do I like mountain biking? Do I want a full suspension? Blah, 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 blah. But initially, I would buy a cheap mountain bike on sale and I would beat the crap out of it until it could not stand up on its own two wheels anymore. That's what I would do. Because, like, the cost of servicing a bike like that, if you're going to service it all the time, is expensive. Like, no doubt. But if I'm not saying I would do it. I'm not saying this is the right way to do it. This is just if I was a consumer and I had the income that I have now and I didn't want to spend a lot of money on a bike. I was unsure about buying a bike. Unsure if I liked being a cyclist. I would buy a bike as cheap as humanly possible. That was in like the decent bicycle category. $2,000 would be my budget. And I would make that bike last for the next 5 years. I would ride it all the time. And I would make sure that that bike paid for itself. I wouldn't buy a $5,000 bike. I wouldn't buy a $10,000 bike. I wouldn't buy any of the... I don't know. I can't sit here honestly and tell you that I'm like, oh yeah, spending $6,000 to $10,000 makes a lot of sense. I don't think it does. I mean, granted, I've been in a shop my whole life and get bikes and all this stuff. Spending that much seems crazy because, like, it is pretty well known that, like, a $4,000 to $5,500, $6,000 bike is just as durable and pretty damn good performance wise as an $8,000 bike. If you're buying a bike over $6,000, you're buying it because, like, you want the Gucci shit, which is okay. Like, people wear Gucci, people wear Prada, people wear all that shit. Doesn't mean they need it. And I think that's kind of the same boat that we're in with a lot of the product that is being bought and sold right now. I think that's just how it is. So, and I think that's it. I think that's it for today. We're just going to do a 30-minute episode. It is what it is. I hope you guys have a great day. I hope this was helpful. We'll do more of these episodes. If you have questions on bike stuff, please hit me up. I'm in bike mode. I've quit skiing. This week, the weekend before you hear this, will be the last time I'm skiing this year, and no one can convince me otherwise, so I apologize if you want me to go to a ski thing. I will not be there. Well, I may be there, but I won't be on skis because I'm done skiing for the year. I will be skiing next year plenty, and that is about good enough for me. So until then, be sure to follow The Out of Collective on YouTube, Instagram. Check out the website. We got new reviews that just popped up. Cascade Recap is up there from Joe. There is so much going on. But once again, I thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you on next week. Bye.